Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I'm Bill Knight. Hope you're having a good day, sir. It's Thursday, so we're getting close to the weekend. But, you know, the news is already starting to get that Joe Biden air to it. It stinks.
Well, you know, he went to Pittsburgh, the Steel City, yesterday. And yeah. I got to tell you, I saw the video of Biden. And, you know, the steel workers sitting around him and behind him, they looked like they would rather be anywhere but there. It was like they were staged. You be there, and you be on that stage. And they didn't look like they were terribly happy about doing so. And by the way, he did the some parent had their young girl on the stage. I'm saying maybe she was 11 or 12. And, of course, Biden walked over to her and rubbed her cheek. This guy can't leave children alone.
Can't they get through a stupid numbskull head that it is a bad optic? It is a bad optic. And I'm sitting here going, in my notes here, you know, because of things he said, you know, but I have pedophile down because I believe he's a pedophile.
He can't help himself. You know, he had a picture taken in Scranton this week where he's walking out from behind the house with 8 or 9 little children. He's the only adult, you know, like the Pied Piper, except, you know, this is the president of the United States.
Really the president of the United States? I say that because of things that he brought up, you know. I mean, or was he the duly elected president?
Well,
the appointed president, or did, you know, is he, besides a pedophile, the commander in thief?
Well, there's a puppet. There's a article out there saying he's just a puppet, that Hillary and Barack are pulling the strings behind the scenes.
Some audio with that, too, I believe. I forget.
What's interesting, I haven't got that, though, Bill. I have Joe Biden talking yesterday about the Middle East, and I want you to listen very carefully and tell me what's wrong with what he says here.
And I made it clear to Israelis, don't move on Haifa. It's just not, I mean, anyway, I just, look what we did recently when Israel was attacked.
I know this one.
Okay, now I'm going to point to the man in the front row. You have your hand up. What do you think he said wrong? Yes.
Haifa, isn't that like the third largest city in Israel?
Yeah, and the Israelis, I'm sure they agreed, don't worry, Mr. President, we're not going to move on our own city. You know,
we'll make a promise to you, Joe, we're not going to attack Haifa at all.
I mean, this guy says it. He says it up there, and he doesn't even correct himself.
Because he didn't know what he was saying.
The man's amazing. He's out there. He was knocking Trump at every turn. And you know, they have no problem lying for example, you know, he said during one of his talks yesterday, I got to play this for you.
You're going to play the thing that's going to tick me off that already had me boiling all night.
Well, it'll probably have you boiling this morning, too. This is Joe Biden. Maybe it's not the same thing, but Joe Biden yesterday talking about one of his uncles who crashed a plane in New Guinea and was eaten by cannibals. And then in the course of the conversation, he brings up a line that Trump says over in Normandy, and he lies with a straight face to the audience. Listen.
Back in when D-Day occurred, and on Sunday, the next day, my mother's four brothers all went down to the recruiting station and joined the military. Every one of them volunteered. And my uncle, they called him Ambrose Bosey, they called him Bosey. My uncle Bosey was a hell of an athlete, they tell me when he was a kid. And he became an Army Air Corps before the Air Force came along. He flew those single-engine planes as reconnaissance over war zones. He got shot down in New Guinea, and they never found the body because there used to be a lot of cannibals for real in that part of New Guinea. And then my son volunteered to go to Iraq for a year, and he came back with stage 4 glioblastoma. And they gave, like many of you, risked your lives, and you know people who gave their lives for the country. They're heroes. But one of the things that I, as I was doing that today, I was reminded of what my opponent said in Paris not too long ago. They asked him to go visit American grave sites. He said no, he wouldn't do it, because they were all suckers and losers. I'm not making that up.
Yes, you are.
The staff was with him, acknowledged it today. Suckers and losers. That man doesn't deserve.
The guy, he's mumbling on. The guy's a liar. The guy's a liar. That was proven to be a blatant lie when it first came out.
There is no tape, no video, no witnesses. Oh, two witnesses did come forward and then were proven, well, they weren't there. They lied about it because they were anti-Trumpers. But people that were there said, no, this hair thing, that was stupid, and that he never said that. There was never an utterance of that. If anything, Trump is the total opposite. But they did it back then. And, you know, this story, it almost sounds like something of the Steele dossier, that it came from the Hillary Dirty Skunk Works factory of stories. And it was thrown out there, and he's holding on to it. And, you know, as I need a bus horn so that I can sit there, back this bus up, going to the New Guinea thing. Mm-hmm. I would love that to be fact-checked, because, you know, that is a bunch of bunk right there, that he's coming up with a story.
Oh, the guy makes up a story, Bill, for every occasion.
You know, he gets to that narrative, you know, when the
bridge collapsed in Baltimore, he came up and said that his family worked that bay back in the 1800s. You know, but yet his family lived in Scranton, Pennsylvania.
We've got to sit there and correct all of our history books to get those Bidens all over the damn place in there, because, you know, if you really think about it, you know, it wasn't Moses, it was a Biden that had the scrolls. You know,
I mean,
the guy
has a story for every occasion. He was brought up by every nationality. Jewish people brought him up. Greeks brought him up. The black community brought him up. He lived in Scranton. He was brought up in Scranton. He was brought up in Delaware. He was brought up in a number of different cities around the Northeast because, you know, whatever fits the occasion, that's where he was brought up. And then, of course, he gets out there, and that's why he has no problem lying about what Trump said. He doesn't care that it was proven time and time again that Trump never said it. He doesn't care, because there's some clown, and you heard the clown in the background go, and now that could have been a plant. That could have been somebody in Joe's crowd who made that noise, all right? Or it could have been some stupid, idiotic, moronic, non-paying attention doofus who hasn't got a clue what's happening in politics.
Well, here's why they're doing it, because don't think this wasn't planned, all right? They've got Trump tied up in a fabricated court case, and everyone, and you know this if you're paying attention in the news, this is a fabricated case that doesn't have, you know, that has no legitimacy to it, but they're trying to cobble together a would-be make-believe felony, but the judge, you know, has sat there and said, oh no, you can't go to your son's graduation. You can't excuse yourself to go to the bathroom, or I'm going to throw you in jail.
Yeah.
So Trump can't politic, can't do anything. Now Joe, who's always on vacation, well, now that he's locked up, let me go out and campaign and give me all that list of lies here that we have, because Trump can't argue it, because you may not have heard the lie the first time around, which it did rattle some cages. The news was all over it, and people said, whoa, if he's feeling that way about veterans, I got to reconsider. Well, that was straightened out, and it's all gone. But there's probably another brand of people out there that never heard that lie. So let's bring it out there again, and Trump can't defend himself because he's over on his make-believe witch hunt, and This is all planned. It's all BS. But, you know, for them to be doing what they're doing at the degree that they're doing it means they really, really, really have to be desperate. If you've got to resort to these kind of tactics, lawfare and lies, mm-hmm. then you have got a problem with the substance of your presidency, which I challenge. Somebody needs to really go back and do some investigative fact-checking on what really happened.
What they're hoping is that there's enough lazy people out there who aren't really paying attention, who will just casually pick up on what they say about Trump and believe it. You know? I mean, that's all I can think of. Anyway,
it's not good what's going on, and I'm sorry, but this is craziness.
I got to tell you, speaking of craziness, yesterday the Senate of the United States of America did something that has never been done in over 200 years. Never in its existence has it been handed an impeachment by the House of Representatives, and they decide not to impeach. This is what happened yesterday in the Senate, and it did it under the control and auspices of one Senator Chuck Schumer, the majority leader.
Chuck E. Cheese, yes.
Chucky Chuckle Schumer is not on our side. I have to tell you something, folks. You're not going to like this, especially if you are a Democrat. But the party that is against America, the party that is anti-America, is the Democrat Party, pure and simple. If you say, well, that's ridiculous, I'm telling you, just take a good look at what they're doing right now. We have a guy named Mayorkas. He's a Secretary of Homeland Security who has done nothing to secure our homeland. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think it's an appropriate time. You know, we say Democrats with honor because at one time it was a good party. But now it's a bunch of little, you know, sheep that are out there and they're stupid sheep.
Well, I mean, they follow without question whatever the leaders in the party tell them to follow. You know, so? I heard someone say, a Republican senator said, well, you know, you should have seen the Democrats, especially the ones that are coming up for re-election, they didn't want to follow this instruction from their leader, but they did it anyway. I would submit that they actually fell down on their responsibility as independent senators, and they should all be voted out of office, every single one of them.
I was going to relabel the Democrats to Democrats.
Okay, the Mike Lee from Utah, a senator, Republican, had this to say about Chuck Schumer.
As wrong as the majority leader was moments ago in making this particular point of order as to Article 1 of the impeachment articles. Article 1, remember, refers to the willful defiance by Secretary Mayorkas of the law. As wrong as he was in making that as to Article 1, and he was very wrong for the reasons articulated moments ago by the senator from Texas, he is even more wrong, far more so, with respect to Article 2, because Article 2 accuses him of knowingly making false statements. This is a violation of 18 U.S.C. Section 1001, a felony offense. If this is not a high crime and misdemeanor, what is? If this is not impeachable, what is? What precedent will be setting?
Senator,
we need to address this and to discuss it. We need
position.
To discuss
if
it
senator would like
in
to
closed session. For that
motion,
reason, Madam President, I move that the Senate proceed to closed session to allow for deliberation on this very consequential point of order that he's just made. That violates hundreds of years of Anglo-American legal precedent and understanding
on
the question required by impeachment.
And the Democratic acting Senate president is interrupting him at every conceivable moment. But after that that passionate plea for some semblance of dignity and decorum and to do the right thing. I mean, after all, they've been doing the right thing for 200 years. Why break it? Yesterday, after all of that, here's what happened.
Vote. The yeas are 51. The nays are 49. The motion is to agree to. The Senate, sitting as a court of impeachment, stands adjourned, sine die. Majority leader is recognized.
For the information of members, there are no further votes today.
That's Schumer.
Now, I remind all members that we have very serious business ahead of us in the next few days, and we'll keep you informed as to schedule as things can get scheduled.
Republican leader is recognized. The Senate will be in order. Would senators please take their conversations to the cloakroom?
Madam President, we've set a very unfortunate precedent here. This means that the Senate can ignore, in effect, the House's impeachment. It doesn't make any difference whether our friends on the other side thought he should have been impeached or not. He was. And by doing what we just did, we have, in effect, ignored the directions of the House, which were to have a trial. Had no evidence, no procedure. This is a day that's not a proud day in the history of the Senate.
You know, I don't know about you guys out there, but I am just about fed up with our legislature, our Senate, and our House of Representatives. They tell you one thing all the time, especially when they're asking for your vote. They tell you how they're going to be a champion of democracy and stand up for your state. And then they get into the position of power, and they flip us all the fickle finger of fate. They just flip us off like, hey, I'm here now. Screw you. That's how they act.
And, well, you know why?
Go ahead.
They're paying back the real owners of the country. You know, I mean, Joe sits there and, oh, I'm going to tax the rich, you know, and give you a break.
Yeah.
In reality, he's sitting there, you know, paying back his debt to them. He's not, you know, his buddies get loopholes all the time.
Yeah.
There's evidence and story after story of it, you know. So when he goes, well, I'm going to tax the rich, man. Oh, yeah. You're going to get taxed, buddy. I mean, look at the student debt payout. That's $550 billion worth of taxes for us. Now, I've heard the arguments of people going, well, you know, actually the student relief was out there all along with Sally May and all that, which is debunked.
Yeah.
And now they have this other thing out there, a program. All you got to do is put in the application. It's been there forever. Nobody knew about it, but that's about to go broke too.
Speaking of the student loans, do you know who's going to benefit the most from the student loans?
Well, give me a break.
The students of the people who have the resources to pay off the loan. The people who have the resources to pay will make out like a bandit with this this new student loan relief bill that it's not a bill. He's just doing it, you know, executive order.
Order.
Yeah.
You
know, I Bill, that isn't the only bit of crap that came down from Washington yesterday.
A crap fest.
Oh, the hits just keep on coming.
Well, they got the fan to fan it, so
okay, go ahead. Listen to this. Yesterday, our Speaker of the House of Representatives, Mike Johnson, who just last week was standing shoulder to shoulder with President Trump at Mar-a-Lago, looking like he was a solid conservative and a supporter of everything Trump and MAGA, he goes back to Washington and he sells us out. You're saying he watch him? Well, he went back to Washington and he said, you know, I have a bill that I've put together, I've agreed to with the Democrats. And you know when I said to you just a month or so ago that I wasn't going to pass any budget that didn't have money for the border in it first? If that wasn't in there, then that bill's not getting... Well, ignore that, okay? Forget that I said that because he came back with a crappy budget bill that he wants to have the Congress pass. Let me just give you an idea of where the money goes. $48.43 billion goes to Ukraine. Now, mind you, in my humble opinion, but the opinion of others too, other very knowledgeable people, generals and things like that, the war in the Ukraine essentially has been won by Russia. Whether you want to believe it or not, the fact of the matter is,
it's over.
Yeah, they've got more. They've got many, many, many more soldiers. They got more equipment. It's just a matter of attrition. They can keep going with this war as it is right now for years, and just wear the Ukraine down. Ukraine's already changed their draft status of their people. They're drafting younger people because, well, they're running out of soldiers. Anyway, $48.43 billion goes to the Ukraine. Johnson says $14.1 billion goes to Israel because, you know, they have a problem with their borders, Gaza, and the northern border with Hezbollah and Lebanon. and they've got a problem with, well, just their border in general. So what's the logical thing? You give them $14.1 billion. And by the way, I happen to believe that Israel's in a tough place, and they do need our help. Then they have $2.4 billion for Red Sea operations, used for operations, force protection, and the replacement of combat expenditures in the Red Sea area. You know, that's where they have all those ships being hijacked by the Houthis and stuff like that. $2.4 billion. Because, you know, it's only $2.4 billion. When you look at what we're giving to Ukraine, almost $50 billion, $2.4 billion is a drop in the bucket. Then they have $2.58 billion going to Indo-PACOM. Indo-PACOM. What are you saying? What is that? It's Indo-Pacific, that whole group of countries. $1.9 billion replenishment of stocks to DOD. $542 million to Indo-PACOM UPL, whatever that is. I'm not sure exactly what that is. Maybe it's the Indo-Peninsula country area, upper, I don't know what it means. $133 million to enhance cruise missile components, so that's good. Then they give another $3.3 billion to submarine industrial base. They want to invest in the improvement of our dry docks for our submarines, which is actually probably the only thing that's worth putting the money into, that whole budget. But you'll note, if you look at that list that I just read, I'm looking really, really close. Do you see anything missing, Bill, from that budget? Now, mind you,
what about our borders? I mean,
son,
you know,
of
I
a
mean,
gun, Bill. You, yeah, you, know, you got I'm, me. They don't mention anything about giving any money. And by the way, Mike Johnson promised us on camera just a few months ago no budget was being passed under his watch that doesn't first include money for our borders. But I'm looking really,
well, let me ask
really
you a
close.
Question, though, about Mike Johnson. Mm-hmm. So let's say that there's a move to take him out as Speaker of the House. Right. Is he going to pack up his toys and say, that's it, I'm out of here?
Well, what they're doing now, and I think this is the right thing, people are saying, look, we don't want him to be impeached. We don't want an impeachment. That opens up a real problem to the Republicans in the House. What they're saying is, look at Mike, you're not wanted here anymore. Do the right thing and resign. Yeah, they're trying to force him into run. When you resign, John Boehner resigned, if you'll remember. John Boehner was a speaker. He had an alcohol problem, and he decided to resign the speakership. And there was a certain amount of dignity involved with the process, and also it's a more orderly process. He can replace. I think he can choose who his replacement is going to be. That's the difference between being speaker who's resigning
who
and a speaker
will he choose?
Who's being, well, that's just it. But the people are saying that he's being pressured now to, and I think he should resign. I think Johnson is. I hate to say this, Bill, but it sounds like. Somebody's got something on the guy, you know? Maybe he was partying one weekend and was swinging from a chandelier somewhere, and they got pictures. I don't know. But this is a guy who, when he first got the speakership, stood up like he was a champion, and then he capitulated and wilted like a smelly old flower that hasn't been watered. You know, just nothing, you know?
Well,
no backbone.
For me.
Yeah. No backbone. I don't know. Maybe he has a logical reason for doing this. But again, we're bleeding out as a country on our southern border. We're bleeding out, and the Senate doesn't do the right thing. The Senate doesn't do the right thing. Mayorkas shouldn't have a job. Every citizen who's paying attention is saying, this guy is not on our side, this Mayorkas. Yeah. He's got to go. And every Democrat senator voted to keep him in.
Well, we're on a march against time because we got 6.5 months until the election. We've got to hold whatever we got in the House, and by any means. But yeah, Mike Johnson, that was the poorest mistake that was the dumbest mistake we ever made.
Mm-hmm.
But then we've had, we're flushing out the bad of the Republican side. But unfortunately, we don't have the numbers to hold it. And the Democrats are chomping at it. And Pelosi, she'll, the what's his name, will step aside and she'll step up to the plate. Because they probably think, no. Well, yeah, I mean, the Democratic
whip. Hakeem Jeffries?
Yeah, Hakeem Jeffries would probably step aside for Pelosi.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny. They wanted to subpoena. Think about this for a second. If you did something that the House didn't like, they would issue a subpoena.
Absolutely.
And your fanny would be sitting in a chair in front of the House in a heartbeat. But, because Pelosi's still an active member of the Congress, she can't be subpoenaed. They can't subpoena her to get her testimony on what she did and what she ordered on January 6th. She's protected from testifying because she's still a member of the House. These people, they cut carve-outs all the time. You're saying, what's a carve-out? Well, they'll put together a bill that is really crushing for the American people. But in the course of putting that bill together, they will exclude themselves from the bill.
Criminal, you want to protect yourself.
Any member or former member of Congress. They always put former, too, so that if they get voted out, they're still protected, Mm-hmm. It's like how many guys, when they leave the House of Representatives, you don't realize this, but they keep the House health care. The House health care is like, it's a goal package, folks. You think you have a good health care program. Maybe you have one of the Medicare programs from Aetna or something like that. And they're great. They really are. But they're nothing compared to what the House gives you everything and then some.
They have every benefit, dental, vision, medical, and we're talking top notch, no deductibles. But it's a pretty good thing. And I believe, at least it used to be, when you were in Congress, you kept the salary when you left.
Well, I think after you had to have like two terms, I think.
Yeah, maybe, two terms. Yeah. I got a buddy that, a good friend of mine, he went in and he did two. And, he's got that money and he's an attorney. And I'm sitting there going, what a scam job that was.
They get a base salary, really, for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Just for doing a couple of terms in the House of Representatives. Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy were walking the halls yesterday after the bill was thrown out, the budget bill was presented by Johnson. They weren't happy.
For hours last night and proposed different paths for the speaker that would have avoided the abject surrender represented by his strategic choice here. There's no other way to describe it. It's surrender. It's disappointing. I won't support it.
It's disappointing. It's completely detached from what our base wants, what our voters want.
The strategy is not to try. I think the strategy is to fall on his sword.
So when I asked Congressman Chip Roy about whether or not it was time for him to oust Mike Johnson from the speakership, he said that he went right up to the line, Dana, and didn't go across that line, perhaps because he needs to talk with the speaker, which is happening right now. Now, the question is, will the numbers add up to oust him from the speakership? Because Democrats, as you mentioned, could step in to save him because of what he's doing here on Ukraine. So this is a different situation than the fall when Mike McCarthy was ousted from the speakership. But no doubt about it, Mike Johnson opening up a revolt on the far right with his conference, with his move here.
That's CNN, and that's interesting because what he said, if you picked up on this, is Johnson may be saved from impeachment by the Democrats. Think about that for a second. But while he's doing their bidding right now, Johnson is doing more what the Democrats want than what the Republicans want. And, it goes back to that visual last week of him being down in Mar-a-Lago. President Trump has got a lot on his plate right now, a lot. And I can't help but think that with all this stuff being thrown at him, that there, no matter how smart and how well versed a guy is, he's gotta be I don't know, not as sharp as he would be is if he could just focus on the campaign. This lawfare stuff that they're doing, this
it is getting to him. Yeah. I'm seeing it. I see it in the pictures. I see a worried guy. I see a guy that always had suits that were pressed, clean, no wrinkles at all, and now they look wrinkled and frumpy because he doesn't have time to go in and change his shorts, and they got him back in court.
Yeah, you know, Bill, you're absolutely, and it's funny you should say that. I was noticing the same. The guy looks tired. The guy looks tired, and I worry about that because part of me thinks, well, maybe they figure that if they can't get him legally, maybe they can get him physically, knock him down, beat him up, drag him across the country, hop him on a... No matter how nice the plane is, friends, no matter how comfortable his airplane is, it's still a plane that he has to be in to fly around the country, to be in certain places, you know?
Yeah, he looks better when he gets to go on his plane and take a snooze, but he's not in his plane. He's sitting in a courtroom. You can't say anything. Well, do I need to be here? Yes, you have to be here. But my kid, you can't go. I got to go to the bathroom. Hold it. You know, that's what they do to Trump.
That's essentially what they're doing right now to Donald Trump. Yeah. And by the way, friends, every expert I hear talking says, well, they have no case. I've heard it on CNN. I mean, for CNN to broadcast that, that has to hurt. They're cringing in the control room. Go ahead.
Let's take that right now. If he's got no case, if they got no case, then what are the odds, scale of 1 to 100, that they're going to convict him? Well, I still say it's over 50% because they're going to kangaroo it like they've done everywhere else. But even if they don't win it, and it is exactly what everybody knows it is, a show, what are they accomplishing? Oh, well, they're running. They're making Trump not look good because he's starting to run ragged because they're keeping him, you know, it's like watching a fight, a boxing match, you know, and they're sitting there going 3 minutes and then ding, they take a break. You go in, get a little water, you know, all right, champ. All right. Okay. I'll pat you down here, get you ready, you know, do your rep. And then you go back out in the ring. They're not giving him that opportunity. They're wearing him down and he is off the campaign trail. And that allows Biden, you know, who sits on the beach all the time or in his basement to go to Scranton, his hometown. It wasn't his hometown, but either way, you know, to go to Scranton and sit there and fondle little kids and then go to Pittsburgh and bore the union members and tell the lies that he's telling and, you know, bringing up old lies again because there's no one there to defend Trump but Trump because the media ain't going
to
do it.
I would love to have seen a show of hands yesterday, an honest show of hands from people at the Biden rally. You know, it wasn't really a rally. It was a forced appearance by the union workers. I would love to have seen them say, how many of you are voting for Trump? I would have been willing to bet that at least half of the people in that room.
I don't think it matters who votes for Trump. I mean, you could get 99. He could get 99.9% of the vote and still lose by Biden winning by an overwhelming number.
You know what Stalin once said? Stalin said it's not the people who vote that make the difference. It's the people that count who make the difference.
That's right.
Greg Jarrett and Alan Dershowitz were on with Sean Hannity talking about the Trump trial. Listen.
Look at this case. It's 8 years later. It's 203 days yesterday before the election, a presidential election. If you look at the fact that Trump must be in court every day and his opponent gets to be out campaigning, if you look at the statute of limitations that passed, this is a misdemeanor count that somehow becomes melded into a federal charge felony is unfathomable to me. And yet nobody can explain that part of this case. To me, this is all obviously political, but here we are, and this case is going forward. And then, of course, the recusal issue.
Well, Alvin Bragg has taken a wrecking ball to justice. So the term fair trial in New York, that's an oxymoron. You know, threatening Trump with contempt, jail, oppressive gag order, it's blatantly unconstitutional. I mean, all of that is evidence, Sean, of a tyrannical, biased judge and a dishonest DA who knows his case is so anemic he might actually lose. So win or lose, Bragg and Judge Marchand are essentially colluding to keep Trump off the campaign trail, tied up in court to damage his election chances, which makes New York now, I think, beyond corrupt. It'll be a miracle if Trump can get a fair trial, which was the whole point of bringing the case. And then you factor in noxious, malignant media that openly cheers, as you pointed out, for the prosecution. And you have, Sean, a poison justice system that harbors contempt for the accused and presumes guilt. Now, having said that, there is a glimmer of optimism. There may be at least one fair juror who will see through Bragg's courtroom charade that's reliant on lying witnesses and contorting the law. Maybe those two lawyers will see it. Second of all, American voters, I think, resent this meddling in a presidential election, the effort to deprive them of the right to choose. This has always been a rush to convict on a contrived case that would be brought against no one else, not named Trump. And I hope that people are smart enough to see it for what it is.
Professor, 8 years later, a misdemeanor somehow evolves into a felony, and allegations that a judge is quite compromised in this case. I'm sure you have a lot to say.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm looking for a fair election. I'm an American voter who hasn't decided at this point who to vote for and who to vote against. I just want a fair election. And this case is depriving the American public. I'm speaking for the American public, not for the candidate. Depriving the American public of the right to have a fair election. President Trump should be in Pennsylvania today. There is a statute that gives him the right to leave the court any day, but the statute says, quote, in the absence of an objection by the people. In other words, the prosecution has a veto over the judge's decision whether to allow him to leave the courtroom in any given day. That is unconstitutional, and this case ought to be challenged. There ought to be a motion made by Trump's lawyers immediately under Section 5340.50, in which the judge has the power to allow him to leave the courtroom and campaign, but only if the prosecution agrees to it, which is clearly unconstitutional. The gag order is unconstitutional. You cannot prevent a defendant from attacking the witnesses, from attacking the judge's daughter, if the judge's daughter could be a basis for disqualification. Look, I agree with Greg. The American public is sick and tired of seeing the legal system weaponized. Whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, whether you're a Trump supporter or a Biden supporter, you should be equally appalled. We have the right to decide who to vote for without the thumb, or in this case, the elbow of the criminal justice system led by Democrats, in this case, the district attorney who campaigned on a promise to get Trump, essentially. We have a right not to have that election interference.
Do you believe
this case is paradigmatic election interference? Yeah.
And do you believe the judge should have recused himself?
Absolutely. It's not even a close question. This daughter
not even a close call.
Tends to make, yeah. Can make money. It's not a close call. She can make money. She's probably making money merely from the fact that he is sitting on the case. And if Trump loses as a result of the judge's rulings, she puts money in the bank. That's a clear conflict of interest.
Alan Dershowitz and Greg Jarrett with Sean Hannity talking about the Trump case. They have picked 7 jurors so far. And they resume making selections today, or trying to. Let me give you a background on who they've picked so far. Juror number 1 is a man originally from Ireland who now lives in West Harlem and works in sales. He was assigned by the judge to be 4-person. He enjoys the outdoors and gets his news from the New York Times, the Daily Mail, Fox News, and MSNBC. Now, there's a guy who he doesn't know what he's doing. Fox News and MSNBC. And he's the 4-person, okay? Number two is the second juror is a woman who lives on Manhattan's Upper East Side and works as an oncology nurse. She said she likes she likes taking her dog for a walk and gets her news primarily from the New York Times, CNN, and Google. That says she's a lefty big time, okay? Juror number three is a corporate lawyer originally from Oregon who now lives in the Chelsea neighborhood of Manhattan. He said he likes to go hiking and gets his news from the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and Google. He said he was not super familiar with the other charges that Trump faces and doesn't follow the news that closely. That says to me that he is a numbskull, especially when you take into consideration that he's a lawyer. Juror number four, originally from Puerto Rico, juror number four said he reads the New York Daily News, that's a rag, and the New York Times, another rag, and cited, quote, my family, end quote, as his hobby. An IT consultant, he described Trump as, quote, fascinating and mysterious, end quote. Juror number five, the fifth juror, is a middle school English teacher who said she's not very interested in politics or the news, which she gets from the New York Times and TikTok. Whew, man.
Wow.
While her friends have strong opinions about Trump, this Harlem resident said she does not. She offered her opinion under questioning from one of Trump's lawyers. Quote, President Trump speaks his mind. I would rather that in a person than someone who's in an office and you don't know what they're doing behind the scenes. That's what she said. Juror number six is a software engineer who lives in Chelsea. Mm-hmm. Juror number six said she can treat Trump as she would treat any other person on trial. She reads the New York Times and also TikTok. Honest to God, these people are numbskulls.
Boy,
Juror number seven, a civil litigator, another lawyer, living on the Upper East Side. Juror number seven said he enjoys time outdoors with his children. He also told the court he reads the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Post, and the Washington Post. He likes the podcast Smartless and Car Talk. That's Car what talk. We have, yeah. So, and by the way, he says a civil litigator. He doesn't say lawyer. That wouldn't be, you don't want to say lawyer twice.
No, you're a litigator.
Yeah. So that's what we have for the selection so far, Bill. I love the ones that say they get their news from TikTok.
Well, I love this whole diatribe, which you just went through, because I'm waiting. Jim, cue up the fanfare music. Cue the camera on. I would like Bachelorette number four, please.
He's from Detroit. He loves playing golf and knitting. Here's so-and-so.
I know. There we go. It's the dating game. Jeez.
That's pretty much what it's like. You're right. Absolutely.
Yeah, I was sitting there going, wait a minute. I've been through trials before, and, you know, the gnarliest thing to do is...
You expect to hear the music.
That's why, and you know, and your name is Jim, you know?
That's true, Jim Lang.
Well, I didn't want to say Lang because that would have been, you know, you would have, what?
Unbelievable when you think about it, though. If you remember, this guy here, this Merchan, or whatever you want to call it.
He
sent out a questionnaire to everybody. And the questionnaire was like, it was like a pre-question questionnaire. Because, you know, when you get into the courtroom, that's when the lawyers, they have the questions. And those are the guys who should have the questions. But before those jurors got in to be questioned, they got a questionnaire from Merchan, who said, all right, do you do this? Do you do that? What do you feel about this? I mean, he questioned.
What are you doing for dinner tonight?
Exactly. This is a case that people who aren't paying attention may say, well, it's about time Trump is going to be brought to justice. No. This case has no legs. This case has been litigated twice before, at least twice before, and thrown out twice before.
Can a person that has a vendetta be a judge?
Hey, nowadays, Bill, you know, you're the guy who tells me it's a different world we live in.
Well, yes, it is a different world.
All the rules are gone, you know?
Mershon. Let's just call him Mershon. You know, he goes, yeah, I know Trump because we grew up blocks apart. You know, Trump, you know, in his nice highfalutin place and me in Queens.
Yeah, right.
You know, well, Mr. Mershon, you know, America, you came here as a child.
Did he say that, Bill? I missed that. Did he say that? He actually talked about it? Unbelievable.
Yes, and he goes, he knows Trump very well growing up, just not too many. They were just a few blocks or miles away, and he grew up in Queens. Where in Queens, Mr. Murray? Let's be exact here. And how much money do you have now, and how do you live now? You know, there might have been some opportunities for you, and some of those opportunities could have come via Trump's way, or are you just jealous of him?
Well, by the way, I think Trump was from Queens. Yeah, Trump was from Queens. Yeah, so, I mean, he makes it sound like he was living in another part of the planet. No.
No. He's trying to make it sound like Trump was rich. He wasn't. But, yeah, I'm sitting there going, you know, let's be honest. I mean, I forget where it was in South America or Colombia. Colombia. But for his parents to come there when he was, what, three or whatever?
Six,
Or six, yep. Okay. They had money, you know, and obviously they did all right, you know, and look at him now.
Yeah, look at his daughter who's made what, $9 million or something like that, or $93 million?
Now we know how they made it. They brought a little bit of Colombia here in the way that they do business and politics down there, and Trump is the carcass they're going to carve out to make money from, because everything they do, win or lose, they're getting a bundle of money. So all, you know, Trump happened to walk out on stage and got in their sights. And he's done nothing wrong, but that's just how the Democrats hunt, the Democrats.
What amazes me, did you see what he did the day before yesterday? He was in court being, you know, dumped on by Mershon, you know, being told that he couldn't go to his son's graduation, that he had to be in court every day. By the way, if you wonder whether this is lawfare or not, I just point to that one part where Mershon says you have to be in court every day of the trial. And this saying, it may last 6 weeks. 6 weeks off of the campaign trail. Think about
that.
Takes
you to June.
Yeah. This guy here is doing this intentionally. The process is the penalty, not the outcome of the process. Okay? But anyway.
There's going to be both because they're going for the kill.
Yeah, well,
they got a rubber knife, but they're going for the kill.
And believe me, when you listen to those jurors, you know, I like TikTok, I get my news from Google, you know, Trump is going down. I can't believe that the Trump attorneys would have said yes to some of those people unless some were so bad, unless some of the prospective jurors were so bad that they were limited as far as who they could say yes to.
Yeah, well, we need to explain, you know, when you have the prosecution and the defense, the people come out and, you know, the prosecution will ask a question, and if it's the wrong answer, no, I don't want this person.
I think you only can get 10, Bill. I think you can only get 10 rejections. I think there's a limit. Otherwise, they'd be in court.
Yeah, but here's the problem. Let's just say that you've got a box of all bad apples.
Right.
You know? Then who wins in that scenario?
It's not your client, because if 11 ding-dongs come out and you reject 10 of them right off the bat, you're out of rejections. At that point, you're stuck.
You're stuck. And if they're all lopsided to begin with, you were stuck before this whole process started.
Now, I could be wrong with that, and it may go state by state, but I do believe there's a limit on how many times you can reject somebody. Otherwise, you know, some of these attorneys would be in rejecting jurors for months, you know? I mean,
well, that's why the Supreme Court is really important. And, you know, there was questions of whether Thomas was going to make it because he's – go ahead.
I wanted to point out, you mentioned Supreme Court. Another thing that Trump wanted to do besides going to his son's graduation was attend the hearing at the Supreme Court on executive privilege. And Mershon said, no, you can't go. Which, in Mershon's eyes, he was saying, we're far more important than the Supreme Court.
Well, yeah, because this is not only this is not only part of an agenda and an assignment he has to carry out. He, I'm not talking about his judicial pay. He will make money from this. The people that are paying for this to happen and putting him up, Soros and crew, you know, he's going to make money from that. They, you know, I mean, it's like a bonus to him. Yeah, I want my, I want my $5 million bonus.
Do you feel, I feel an overall slime in our entire judicial and legal and litigious, our whole system's messed up. We have the Senate doing something yesterday that hasn't been done in the history of the Senate, and they just dismiss it like it's no big deal. They don't act upon an impeachment. That's never been done, but they do it, and they just expect you to take it for what it is. I mean, that's what we're doing now. We have the Speaker of the House of Representatives who gets up in front of the world and says, I will not pass a budget unless it includes protection of our borders. And then what does he do? He presents a budget that doesn't include the protection of our borders. He lies right to our face, and we're supposed to just take it. Then we're told that Trump is being charged legitimately, yet all of the charges that are brought against him have been either brought before and thrown out, or they've been told by experts that they have no standing. They're ridiculous. But yet they bring him anyway, and they throw all of this crap on top of him, and we're supposed to believe it's a fair system. You know, it's disgusting what they're doing from the top to the bottom. Then we have this tottering old fool in the White House who's walking around saying, don't attack Haifa, Israel. Don't attack Haifa. So help me God, we played it at the top of the show.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy got
but
up there.
But you know what?
Go ahead, Bill.
That's a distraction from other things that Joe, you know, if we can sit there and have fun attacking him saying Haifa, what is it that he's legitimately doing that's really dubious that we're so distracted with Haifa? Joe's an idiot, okay? He said Haifa.
But see,
he's an idiot.
But see, so. He shouldn't be in the position. He shouldn't be doing what he's doing. First of all, he's a constant embarrassment to our country, yet the left they want you to vote him for four more years. Hey, if you were embarrassed these 4 years, just think of what he can do for the next 4 years.
Well, you know, you talk about that and what he said on his campaign trail through Pennsylvania. Trump doesn't deserve to be commander-in-chief of his son. Well, Joe, you know what? Since you want to make it personal, you don't have the right to be commander-in-chief of me or my children or anybody else's children. As a matter of fact, Joe, I want proof that you are the legitimate commander-in-chief. And just for clarity, Joe, commander-in-chief is somebody that's duly appointed or elected to be in charge of the armed forces.
I used to think that, when this first happened, when we first had this guy, get into office, and I will go to my grave believing that it was not a legitimate presidential election in 2020. That's my opinion. Okay. That's how I feel.
And you deserve that opinion.
Yeah. But the thing is this. I thought that the military being on the side of the American people first and the Constitution first, I thought that they were going to do something to at least inspect the election, if not challenge it altogether. At least you would have thought the military would have said, wait, we're here to protect and defend the people of the United States. There's a question about the legitimacy of the presidential election, and because we are the military of the people, we are going to at least give it a solid inspection. They did nothing. They just stood by. And it's because I think the leaders of the military are as political and as corrupt as some of the politicians. I point to John Kirby. John Kirby, yeah. An admiral. Come on. Come on. An admiral? You know, are you kidding me? This guy, he's a swamp dweller like you've never seen before. Yet he was an admiral, and I'm sure there are a bunch of them out there. I think I mentioned this before. I have friends of mine who were officers, And they'll tell you, the guys who get up to the rank of colonel are usually the most military of the military. The guys who get above colonel into the brigadier general and lieutenant general and major general and general status, those are the guys who are the pals. Those are the guys who know how to manipulate and maneuver. Go ahead, Bill.
And yeah, I was just going to say, you know, you talk about the military and whatnot, and they should have stepped in. I've noticed a trend, and, you know, this is going to sound like homophobic or something like that, but we seem to be putting together this woke military. We've got everything going woke, and there's tons of stories about it, but let's just go with that. I mean, there's a story,
We've lost 20% of our soldiers who have not reenlisted.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, there's a story that it's on Gateway. There's a guy. He's very flamboyant, and I guess he thought he was going on a date. He started out as an intern, and now he's some chief of security for the White House. And the stories that you're hearing being kind of muffled and stuff. I'm sure this guy lost his job because he goes, I'm just saying, you know, this is what's going on, and talking about Hillary and Obama are really calling the shots. And, you know, then the guy uncloaked and took off his glasses and set down his drink. He goes, you're in charge of security. You know, really? You know, hey. Because you just, and it was all on video.
We had, this is the administration of image, okay? We had this, remember the clown we had as the energy assistant secretary who dressed in red dresses, had a mustache, and was stealing women's luggage from the carousel at the airports?
But why are these people put into positions? They're put into positions because they're promised things, and they know what they're doing is wrong, just like that guy knew. I'm just saying,
hey,
that's all.
They can point to him. The left can point to these people. See? We have him as assistant energy secretary.
Right.
And him as the transportation secretary. And go ahead.
They can point to him, but they can also promise them things. You know, and they think that they have come to age, and that they are something, and now it's their world and their rule, and they don't understand their puppets. I mean, there's a story from Downers Grove, a little town in Chicago. They have a village there. The village council voted 4-3 to remove the only Republican. That was on their council. Otherwise, and the reason that they did it, well, because he was against them, wanting to do drag queen bingo events for children at the library featuring male cross-dressing strippers.
This is the left. The left is, by the way, I remind people about the environment. You know, in 2020, we had the riots on the streets of Seattle, and we had the riots in Portland, the riots in Minneapolis. They were all done by the left. They were all done by people on the left. Now we have protesters in all the major cities. The same group of people, by the way, they're being backed by Soros and his henchmen. They're out there putting money up. And, you know, you saw the pictures, Golden Gate Bridge. The police ran out there when they were blocking traffic on the Golden Gate Bridge, and the police protected the protesters. And the people who were stuck in traffic for hours, well, screw them. You know, it's not their problem. They were sent out there to protect the protesters. You know, this is the environment that the left creates. You may not like it. You may not believe it. You may say, oh, that's nonsense. Open your friggin' eyes. Look around. See what they're doing to our environment. You know?
You might be a touchy-feely type of person, but, you know, think about what you're touchy-feelying around with, you know, because none of this makes any sense at all, but we're dismantling America. Our borders are open. We're throwing the Constitution we're using it for toilet paper. Joe is. You know, the only time they bring up the Constitution is what's left of it. They will sit there and try to use it as a defense, but once it doesn't protect them, they want to throw it out the door.
Yeah, you know, that's true. They did it yesterday in the Senate. Yeah. 200 years of tradition and 200 years of rules, they just tossed it because Schumer said no. Schumer said no. And then he told everybody, okay, we got business coming up later on, really important, so stick around. Like he was instructing everybody what to do next. You know, don't tell me about Democrat senators. They have no backbone. They are a pack. They don't stand up individually and vote for what's right for their people. They vote for what's right for their group, period. Mm-hmm. End of sentence. Hey, Bill, I think we've done it again. Another show. If you want to contact us, you can go to our website, itsanotherday.com, www.itsanotherday.com, or www.jimandbill.com. And we have all of our contact information there, email addresses, phone numbers. You can even listen to past shows, too. And I guess with that, Bill, yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, you're obviously a trained professional because you know how to say W.
Thank you very much. Well, that was the difference between being in a medium market and a major market. You know, can you say W? Yeah, I can. Yes.
You know, and we both work for the station that had three W's in the call letter. So.
That's true.
And I almost worked for the 4W one.
Detroit.
No. I thought it was at the time. It was an AM station back in the day. When
I think
AM
it's in Detroit. WWWW in Detroit, I think. Four W's?
I knew there was a guy. Guy's name was Joe Walsh. So, you know, I was a rock jock. Joe Walsh is on the phone for you. Come on. No, really. And there was a guy that was a manager of a, you know, WWWW. And
love
I was
your
like,
music.
Hasta la vista, baby. We're out of here. Bye-bye.
This is CRN America.